The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
But they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. On the solemnity of the ascension of Jesus to heaven, our temptation is to look up. Don't look up. Jesus is not in the skies. But look toward the mission of Jesus for the world. Jesus is not up in the sky. Jesus is within the mission that he has given to every baptized person. It is a mission that calls us to seek out the lost, to proclaim the gospel of truth, to lift up souls to God. As Jesus was ascending to the heavenly kingdom of his Father, he did not say goodbye to his apostles. It wasn't a farewell address. It wasn't, "I'm heading out, good luck, hope it goes well." He didn't say goodbye. He said, "Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Proclaim it." The problem with this in today's sort of modern progressive society is most of us don't know the gospel. If you were asked the question, "What is the gospel of Jesus?" could you answer? And what would be the answer? Also, we don't know Jesus all that well. Could we talk about his life, his words, his miracles, his story? What he means to us, our relationship with him. And many people don't want to know him. They're happy where they are. If I encourage you to be a great disciple of Jesus, you might give me all sorts of reasons not to. Like, "I'm busy. I'm tired. I have things to do. The kids need to get to some sports practice. I have work. I have school. I have video games to play and TV shows to watch. I have more important things to accomplish." Jesus can deal with this, right? Jesus can do it. Does he really need us? Why do I have to be a disciple of Jesus? Why do we need them? That might be the better question. Why do we need to be disciples? It's a good question. One reason is people need hope. People need hope, especially today. People need to know that there is an inheritance for them in heaven. They need to know that they are never alone. Jesus is with them and loves them. People need to hear that God is not some far away father who doesn't care. No, God, our Father, desires to be one with us. People need to learn to say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." The proclamation of the gospel is not difficult to say in words. The gospel is difficult to live with commitment. We're afraid to trust Jesus. We can say these words. We can say, "Jesus is my Savior and our Savior. He came to give us life abundantly. He said to his apostles, 'I am with you until the end of the age.' This is a promise of love to his followers, to all of us. He is with us even when we sin. He is with us. He is with us even when we doubt. He is with us to forgive us and show us again and again and again the way up and out of our selfishness. Jesus is always near." Now we can say that to people, all of those things, but do we believe it? It is not always about saying the best and most convincing words or set of words or argument or whatever the proclamation is. It's about saying them and truly believing them. Do I believe in Jesus? And this is the winning combination that makes for a great disciple. That we proclaim and believe. People will be convinced by your words and by your love and joy and commitment and desire to know Jesus. To know him and make him known. So think about some easy things you can do. Bring a Bible to a friend this week. Someone need a Bible? Buy them one. Bring it to them. Or show someone how to pray the rosary who doesn't know. Show it to them. Give them the prayers. It's a beautiful, important, worldwide devotion. And it has so many graces attached to it. Invite someone to join you at Mass next Sunday. Listen, there are people that don't go to church anywhere, any Sunday. Invite them. Tell them you don't have to know the prayers, you don't have to know when to sit and stand and kneel and all that. Don't worry about that. You'll learn that part. Or just do, like, imitation is great, just do whatever I do. Just tell them that. But invite them. Tell someone you want to pray for them, and then pray with them in that moment. Don't say, "I'll pray for you," then you walk away. If you do that, you better pray for them. Don't lie to them. But if you say, "I'm going to pray for you, and hey, let's do it right now." Boy, a lot of hearts change because of that. Jesus comes strongly to us and with us in those moments. They're beautiful. Start a Bible study and invite friends who are Catholic and non-Catholic. If you don't think you can do a Bible study, I'll give you the information, the materials. I'll show you where to go. Don't be afraid to start something like that if you feel strongly. The Lord is with us in these moments where we're not afraid to do these things. Bring someone to the Adoration Chapel and enter into that silence of prayer, adoration, and love. Being a disciple, proclaiming the gospel, believing, and don't be afraid to see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, saying the words directly to you, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And I'm with you always until the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.